And welcome
to Roscoe's House of Chips, where we like to sit and play on our phones while we record our podcast.
Yes, we do, on our cellular telephones.
What's up?
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good.
We're late this week, and I will take responsibility for that.
No, I don't think you should. I think I should, because...
I'm fine with that, then.
I have to sell Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
You know, I could go on for hours about how much I could ridicule you, but just continue.
Well, you know, just trying to do what I can do as a dad with a girl in Girl Scouts and selling cookies. And
right.
With that, she's the highest selling Girl Scout in her troop.
Nice.
No, that means that Cody is the highest selling father in the church.
Right.
Or, I mean, or, that's what it is.
Well, you know, maybe. So
doesn't matter what you call it, at least he's being a dad.
Well,
true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go. So
you're welcome.
On our show today, we have Wade with us and a very, very, very special guest that I'm very excited to have on the show. And that is Virginia, Wade's mom. Say hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, of course.
Glad you're on.
Very glad you're on. And the reason that we have you on is because we were all talking about wanting to have this discussion about ghosts and afterlife, near-death experiences, and, you know, just kind of the afterlife in general. And Wade said that you would be a good person to talk to about this, and could you tell us why?
I just think he lied.
Oh, you just shut me down completely. No,
now,
when I was a kid, you know, as you can tell, I'm a good talker. And
Wade,
what?
He asked me the question. Shut up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
There have been several times in my life when I have actually had experiences with people from, I would say, the other side. I don't know if a lot of people out there believe in that, but
it seems
there
to be...
have been several times when I have included my children in what I have felt or known to be true. And I guess Wade drew from that. That's
okay.
Why I'm here.
And it's kind of funny that you use the term known to be true, because with all paranormal activity, all paranormal experiences, that's exactly what it is. It's, you know it to be true because you experienced it, and you remember every single detail about it, because it's kind of been the same way for me. I've had certain instances where it's like, that just happened, but no one is going to believe me. But I know it to be true. And it's kind of funny how that works.
Actually, it's not funny, because when you tell someone about it, they look at you like, what planet did you come from? And sometimes people can be really big unbelievers, but I say to those people, open your mind, because it's all around you. All you have to do is watch.
And that hits on another good point. You know, you kind of have to be open to it, and if you're not open to it,
that's right,
it doesn't affect you, it doesn't bother you, or you don't see it. One of the experiences that I had, just to start off sharing, was, excuse me, I have been drinking and I am belching.
You've had like three sips.
So? Anyways. I lived in Mount Vernon, and we lived in a condo, apartment complex, basically. And my wife had gone upstairs to bed. I'd stay downstairs to finish watching a movie or something. And I went upstairs to go to bed with her, and the thing was, she doesn't like the TV to be on, so she's fast asleep, and we had one of those old, I've told this story on the podcast before, but I'll tell it again. We have one of those old tubular TVs where you hit the screen and it makes the dunk sound.
Dunk.
There we
right.
go. And I was laying there, and I hadn't fallen asleep. It was maybe 5 minutes after I laid down. And I usually need the TV on in order to fall asleep. So I knew I wasn't asleep, and it just, I had my eyes closed, and it felt like this woman walked into the room and was standing next to the TV. And so just in my own head, I communicated, I guess you could say, not, I guess it would be telepathic, that's just in my own head, I said, hey, if you're really there, hit that TV, because I knew it would make the sound. So the TV then made the sound. And it was alarming to me, but also wasn't quite sure if it was just coincidence or not. So again, in my own head, I said, okay, thank you. If you're really there, just to confirm it, I need you to hit it twice. And then I got up and went downstairs and got a drink of water and just kind of had to relax for a little bit. So that was weird. Eventually, after a few minutes, came back upstairs, and that feeling was gone.
Yeah, I can see that. I actually can believe you because you were telling the story, and I actually got goosebumps. That's not easy for me.
Well, I'm kind of surprised you did because I'm horrible at telling stories.
Yeah, well, you're not as bad at telling stories as you thought.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm gonna actually tell you about one time in particular that I had, I don't even know what you would call it. Are you familiar with the movie Poltergeist?
Yes.
Haven't seen it in years.
Okay. The year that Poltergeist came out on VCR tapes, that's been a long time ago, so we won't go there either, but...
Oh, no.
We rented...
Not that old. I still remember those.
Okay.
Or not that young, I'm sorry.
Well, we rented the darn thing, and my husband and I had just moved... Well, we'd moved our family out to a ranch that was like 4 miles from the nearest town, and the only thing that was there was the house we lived in, the boss's house, and the boss's mother's house, and then there were all these corrals with cows, and so we were out in the sticks, right out in the middle of nowhere. So Poltergeist comes out, my husband and I decided that we would move our family room, our TV and stuff, down into the basement of this old house we lived in. And we put a wood-burning stove down there so that we could have a nice little fire. And the kids had gone to bed because they were little then. Mm-hmm. I think Wade was 2, and we didn't want him to watch Poltergeist. Anyway, we're down there.
Because that would, like, mess me up psychologically and make me a crazy person.
Shut up, Wade. Anyway,
okay, sorry,
we get down there.
I gotta interject
and,
real quick. That is the name of the episode.
Okay.
Shut up, Wade.
Shut up, wait.
That's the name of the show. I already knew that was coming.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, he's okay with that. He's heard that all his life. That is.
I actually was going to say that was probably going to be the name of the show before you even. I was like, yeah, before the end, it's going to be Shut Up, Wait. Anyway.
Okay.
It's awesome.
And we go downstairs and we're watching the movie Poltergeist. And we have a fire going, and we actually have a coffee pot sitting on the little wood-burning stove, and we're sitting down there having a hot cup of coffee, and we're watching this movie, and all of a sudden, out of the other room in the basement, there came this, I would call it a whirlwind. We even felt the dust, and it comes swirling through the room we were in, and this house was old enough that the windows in the basement, when you unlatch them, you unlatch them at the top of the window, and then they come down in front of you. Well, all of a sudden, this whirlwind went through, one of the windows popped open, whatever it was went out the window, and the window closed.
Oh.
Top that one.
Wow.
I looked at my husband and said, tomorrow you are moving the TV back upstairs. I refuse to come into this basement again. And if you want to finish watching that movie, do it on your own. And I went upstairs and he finished watching the movie.
And you've never seen Poltergeist since?
I never seen the entire movie all in one sitting. I have never.
I laughed because I had a similar experience. It's kind of along the same lines with the movie Fire in the Sky. Do you guys know about that one?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it, no.
Just to give you a quick synopsis on it, it's based on a true story of these loggers. I believe there were six of them. And they were leaving the work site, and they noticed a UFO, like, above this clearing. And so they all kind of, it was just hovering there. They stopped and got out. One walked to the middle of the clearing and was just kind of looking up at it. And then all of a sudden, this beam of light came out of the UFO, hit him, and he flew to the other side of the clearing with this beam of light still on him. The rest of the guys freaked out, hopped back in the truck, and took off and just left their buddy laying there. Well, they all got their nerve back together.
I would have left you there, just saying.
I would have left you there, too. So.
Well, it depends on who it is. If it's Nick or Cody, we're leaving him there. Right, Dave?
Absolutely.
And
okay, anyway.
They go back and they look for him. They can't find him. And then 3 days later, he shows up.
Yeah, naked in front of a station.
Yeah.
Well, to actually add to that story, my father and I worked at a company, a truck driving company, back in the day with a guy. We called him Bishop because he had two wives. He was from Snowflake, Arizona, where that took place.
Yeah.
And and he told us that the guy that happened to, that he knew him, that if this guy. And he said that this guy was one of the most honest people you'll ever meet. That he grew up knowing this guy, and he's like, when he came back to town and told the whole town about his alien abduction story, they had no choice but to believe it, because this guy was such an honest, just good, hardworking man that never made up stories. In fact, he didn't talk much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when he came back, it took him a few years to even tell the story, because people thought he was missing and stuff. He came back all beat up and stuff. And so just kind of add to your story there. Yeah, he was abducted by aliens, and the movie kind of dramatizes a little bit from what Bishop was saying, but really, it's, the guy that happened to, he knew it.
The evidence to back it up, though, too, the only evidence you really can gather when somebody's telling a story like that is a polygraph, and every single one of those people have taken polygraphs multiple times. And have passed every single time. I think they're up to, like, last I heard, it was like 5 or 6 times they had taken polygraphs, each of them. And every single time they'd passed. So, I mean, that's hard refutable.
That's hard evidence.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
And I first saw it, my dad had rented that movie on VHS, and I remember getting to the part where he got hit with the bolt of light, went flying across, and then the next thing you kind of see after they leave is this guy being dragged through this weird-looking hallway, and you start to see, like, flashes of alien faces and whatnot, and when I started seeing those alien, you know, the grays... those big heads with those big almond black eyes, you know, as a kid, I was, I don't know, 5 or 6. I took off running, screaming, and I've not seen that movie since.
I will corroborate what Wade just told you, because my husband come home and he said, babe, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen the guy stand there and tell us. There is no way that he would have told a lie, because the man couldn't. He was that kind of man.
And see, that's awesome. I didn't realize that you guys had that kind of connection with that story. And it's a pretty famous story. If you're interested in the paranormal side of this world, that's really cool.
I just think too many people. It scares them.
I haven't had a chance to be anything but interested.
It's really... I agree with you. It's hard not to be.
Is that weird? No, no. From my end, from my perspective on the whole thing, I haven't had a chance not to believe, because I've had so many experiences with them and so many times in my life when the only thing that explains it is the unexplainable. And so you have to start believing in what you're seeing and stop listening to people say there's no way you could have seen that.
Yeah, because
and you have
to be true.
Make sure that you believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, anyway, it just scares too many people. They want to be happy in their everyday lives, and they don't want to admit that there's something else out there.
Well, okay, but I, for one, believe in God. I'm sorry. I know that some out there do not. I also know that my son is not a believer, and I'm okay with that. He has the right to be that way. But I'm going to put this out there to you. How can anyone look at the world around them and not know that there's something else out there that created or helped create, and not believe, and whether it's in the paranormal or some other thing that is adding to this world as we go? How can you not look outside your window every day and say there's got to be a greater force than me? And who knows? It might be a little gray man with two great big eyes.
It's very Mom's true.
Bring up ancient aliens.
Ancient aliens, yeah.
Well, actually, no. That actually, we brought up before on the show about ancient aliens and how in Utah. And Mom can add to this. In Utah, you can go to some of the petroglyphs and some of the things out there.
Oh my
that they, and you see aliens. These people have painted aliens and spacecraft on the side of these mountains. And there's no other way to explain it. Come on.
Go on to a site called Parawan Gap.
What was it?
On the internet. It's on the internet. And And what he is talking about is on the rocks all around that site.
What was the name of the website?
And no,
again?
I'm not saying that God is an alien. I'm just saying that there is another force out there that we have to deal with. And some of us get lucky. We get to deal with it a lot closer than others.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're saying that people have their choice, but it's undeniable to see that there is something else out there. Whether they believe that it to be God or aliens or whatever.
Right. And I'm also saying that when you are chosen to be a believer, you have no choice whether you're going to believe or not, because the things that happen to you and the type of things that go on in your life leave you no choice but to acknowledge that they do exist.
Yeah, I think when the UFO lands, I think everybody's going to have to admit that one.
Very true.
When the UFO lands, it's not going to be a UFO, because everybody's going to know what it is.
True. Very true. When the flying saucer lands.
Yeah.
So Mom, I've told them a lot about that house that we had that experience.
Oh, Lord.
I've told, you know, and I know you don't like talking about it much because it makes things happen around you and stuff, but
yeah.
but really, I would like
door.
These guys, that exact story is not even the best of the story.
Okay. Okay. I'll pull it right down out of the center, okay? I move into this house, and I have a little girl that is not quite four. And the house was a two-story house, and it had the main floor and an upstairs that had two bedrooms in it. And it had the basement I just told you about, the swirling wind and the dust and the window. And okay, same house.
Yeah.
She decided that she was going to be a big girl like her idiot sisters. And she had big sisters that were quite a bit older than her. And she decided to, in this old house, the steps were really steep. And they went down 7 steps, had a landing, and went down 6 more. She decided to slide down the railing on the upper part.
Okay.
And she fell.
Oh.
But she never hit the stair with a bang. And she told me afterwards, now she was 4 years old, "Mom, somebody caught me and they put me on the step and it was fun. Can I go do it again?"
Wow.
And her and I and Wade were the only ones in the house at the time. And I lived in this house for 2 years with my girls in an upstairs bedroom. And this house was built, okay, in Utah we get a lot of snow. So the older houses were built with very pitched roofs.
Yeah, because they didn't want the snow built.
Being LDS people, every inch of every house had to be used in some way. So they would put the straight wall down in a bedroom where the top of the house come down, and it would leave this little cubbyhole storage area back in behind the walls in the bedrooms upstairs, right?
Okay, yeah.
So my girls kept telling me every time we go to sleep at night, we can hear these noises, and this door on this closet is open when we wake up, and I'm not sleeping up there anymore. I've had it, Mom. I'm not sleeping up there anymore. So I move my girls downstairs, and I put the master bedroom upstairs, and I go in there, and the first night that we stay in there, I get this feeling like I'm being watched all night. And I couldn't sleep.
That's creepy.
So I got up in the morning. I moved my dresser over in front of the door. I put my chest of drawers on top of my dresser, made sure that the door was locked, and got up the next morning and both dressers were moved out and the door was open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now that's crazy.
And
that's
crazy. Right. That is seriously insane. My 4-year-old daughter played with what she called her monsters in her closet. And any time during the day, she would play upstairs all the time by herself or her and Wade. And you could hear her talking. And you'd poke your head in the room and you'd say, "Who are you talking to?" And she'd say, "Oh, it's just my monsters. They're going to take me to their house today. Is it okay if we go have beans with them?"
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She would, all day, she would talk to whatever was there. So, yeah.
And, see. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Talking about being open, you know, I do believe that children haven't got that filter on them yet. Like we do as adults.
Exactly.
And they're way more open to this type of activity because they don't want to or they don't know to block it out.
Why would you want to block it out?
Because like Dave said,
people are just scared. They want to be happy with their everyday life. They don't want to... I don't know
yeah.
What I'm trying to say. They just want to be, like I said,
yeah.
Just happy in their everyday lives. They don't want anything to interfere with that. And it's just too easy to say that people are crazy.
They're frightened.
Mm-hmm. Makes them feel better about themselves to say
yeah.
that other people are crazy.
Yep. And
they feel more secure in their lives if they don't admit what they're seeing.
Exactly.
I'm not bringing up names, okay? Has Wade told you about his daughter?
In what manner?
No, I never have.
You didn't tell them about your daughter?
So, my daughter, Alyssa, would not sleep in her room when she was a little kid because there was a monster in her closet.
Okay.
Let me actually go back a little bit further. My wife never met her father. In fact, her father died of AIDS in 1995. And her mother would never even let her talk to him on the phone. She had never even really seen pictures of the guy. Her mom burned all the pictures. You know, just a real angry woman.
Yeah.
And so Alyssa wouldn't sleep in her own room. Like, she'd talk about monsters in her closet and stuff. When we went back east and seen Christine's family for the first time, we flew back there and hung out with them, and they started pulling out little pictures of Steve, which is Christine's father, and it was this little boy. There was a picture of this little boy, and Lisa freaked out and said that that's the monster in my closet when she saw that picture.
Hmm. Wow.
And she, and so, you know, regardless of what anybody might believe it is, when you run into a story like that, you cannot deny something. You know, a child doesn't have the capability of lying like an adult does.
No.
And stuff. And like you said, they see things unfiltered, and they see things without jaded eyes. And, you know, that brought chills up and down my arms when she started crying. And they were like, what's going on? And we had to explain to them that's what the story of Alyssa freaking out when she was a kid about it. Yeah, and they were all like, just surprised and, you know, astonished by, Steve coming and visiting there.
Well, he had to come and see you because he'd never had a chance to see his daughter. He didn't want to miss his granddaughter. I have a question for all of you.
Yes.
And you
yes.
can ponder it and you can wait to answer it or whatever, but I do have a question. Do you feel that it would be easier for a child to grow up with parents that recognize this or with parents that fought against it?
I would say easier.
It depends on what you mean by fought against it.
People would rather ignore it.
Didn't want to recognize it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That they basically didn't want to admit that that was a possibility, was what I meant.
I can tell you as a parent myself, and being an agnostic type of person, because when you get into the whole atheism and agnostic thing, you know, I feel personally a more agnostic, you know, especially talking about the paranormal, that there is something out there, and it's just a title. It doesn't really mean anything to me, but if I had to put one to it, it would be agnostic. And with that, as a parent, I openly would say that it would be easier. But again, if it's her choice, then if she wants to believe it or not, you know, if she wants to go to church and believe in that, okay, she can go to church and believe that, my daughter or my son. You know, that's completely their choice. But I also hope to, as a parent, be able to show them, hey, you know, there's this as well. And, yeah, it may sound a little crazy, but here's what backs it up. You know, this is hard evidence, hard proof that is kind of irrefutable proof. And you can't really deny that. You know what I mean?
Well, as being somebody, and I'll lay it out there, Mom, like being somebody being raised, calm down. All right. Anyways, being somebody that was raised around it, and I used to love when we would sit around and tell these stories. And as a matter of fact, like, when I got out of high school and stuff, I used to, you know, I was a ghost hunter before ghost hunters were cool. I mean, Christine and I used to take video cameras out and try to go find these things. That's what we did as a date, you know, and different things.
Was that your first date?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No,
oh.
It wasn't.
That would have been cool.
Anyway, but anyway, as somebody that went out and done these things and was raised around it, I can tell you I am an atheist, and I don't believe in God per se, but I do believe that there is, that energy never dies, and I do believe that once something has energy in it, that energy has to go somewhere, and I do believe that things can possibly leave their fingerprint on this earth. That maybe it's interdimensional. We don't even see three quarters of what is out there in front of our face through perception. So I don't even know what these are. But I do believe that what you have seen is real. Because I remember when I was a kid, and I'm going to go back to that same house, Cody.
Oh, I hate that house.
all of us kids, now, we had all eight kids at the house. My dad's children, as well as my mom's, and stuff. So all eight kids were there, and we were all sleeping in that bedroom she's talking about.
Yes.
And we all had this same dream. And we didn't realize we all had the same dream until we talked about it years later, and then all of us freaked out.
Yeah.
We all had the same dream that we opened up that cubbyhole that she's talking about and saw a purple road off into the distance, and it was like this windy, windy road, and it glowed purple. And there was this little Model T that Mom and Dad were in it, and we were trying to chase after them, and it was just pumping out this like cartoon puffs of smoke coming out the back. I mean, there were just so many things like that growing up where all of us had the same dream about that same cubbyhole. Or the time I actually did go to the house, and I'm going to tell this story because I was there. And I was only two, but I remember Verge asking me, that's my sister that she was talking about,
yeah.
Asking me if I wanted to go play with her monsters. And we went into that cubby hole, and it was like a mirror image of the room we were sitting in before. And Virg will tell you the same story. I'm not exaggerating at all, am I, Mom?
No.
But it was a mirror image.
That was
image
a weird house. And by the way, just so everybody knows, they have knocked the house down. It no longer exists.
We don't have to fear that house
Thank
anymore.
Thank God.
You were the last people to live in that house.
No, we weren't. Tiffany and her husband lived in it for about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
And then they tore it down.
I've had a lot of these experiences based on, you know, being around my mother and different things. You know, Mom, tell them the story about Dad's mom coming to visit.
That's one of the ones that's hard for me, Wade.
I know it is, but these are the stories I... What I'm trying to point out is that...
Let me share one more story.
Okay.
You let Virginia think it over on whether she wants to share that one or not. And what I want to go back to real quick, I know what that feeling of that whirlwind feels like, because I've experienced the same exact thing. It was actually at my place of work, and the way our work is kind of set up is we have this break room area.
Our place of work
is set up as we have this break room area, and back when this happened...
You can say shut up, Wade.
Yep.
Shut up, Wade. No, you're right. I should learn to say that more. There was a main door, and then basically straight across from the main door is the door to the men's bathroom, and at that time was also the locker room for us. And I'm sitting in the break room, and it was only me and one other guy, and he happened to be resting his eyes at the time. And outside, our stairs are metal, and so when someone steps on them, you hear it, the dunk, 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 dunk.
Dunk.
Thank you. Dave is our sound effects guy for tonight. Along with the planes. So I'm sitting there, he's resting his eyes, and I'm just sitting there like playing on my phone, and the whole vibe of this office changed. And it felt like this rush of wind just came straight through, and something walked up the stairs, because I could hear it, walked through the door, through the break room, and then went into the locker room and started making noise. Now, as soon as it went into the locker room, I got up, went to wake my coworker. I mean, open his eyes. And as I'm talking to him, it's still making noise in the locker room.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that, again, is the truth as I know it, because he was resting his eyes and wasn't able to experience it. Which kind of sucked. Because it's always... That's the other thing. It's so nice when you have somebody there right with you that's awake and being observant like you are, and you both look and go, what was that? I've had experiences in my house where we have very thin walls, and this was before my son was born, and I was currently painting my daughter's room, so she was sleeping in what was to be our son's room. And we're sitting there, and his door is directly behind where our bed is, across the hallway. And it's an older house, not too old, built in the 80s, like 86, I think. And we heard that door open and shut. It was squeaky. It was more like... Thank you. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go check on my daughter. I go and check on her, and she's asleep, passed out, six at the time, just there's nothing, exactly, nothing waking her. And I don't know how to explain that, because both my wife and I heard it. And there have been other things, like our TV turns on and off by itself. I've been sitting on my couch, and I'm the only one home, and something has kicked the couch. Luckily, the other night, there was, it was, again, my wife and I sitting on the couch, and something kicked the couch again. And it even freaked the cat out. The cat went running off. So, I mean, it's so nice when someone, you can look at someone and go, did you hear that? Did you see that? And they can go, yes.
What's really funny is we do, like, Mom, we do work at the same place, and there has been times you'll be sitting there in that office, and the doors will open up, and then it's two outside, and they'll shut. Now, let me expand on that, too, Mom. Our site is built on the homestead of the original people that lived on Hidalgo Point, Marches Point. And there's an archaeological area right on our site that can't be touched. It's where the old house was, and they said there's a few graves there or whatever. But anyway, there's times where we'll be sitting there at night, and the doors will fly open, or you'll hear steps on the steps outside, or you'll be out there switching in the yard, and you'll just get this feeling that somebody's standing right behind you.
There, and we even had an incident, probably 9 months to a year of us being there, and Wade, you were there that night, when somebody saw somebody walking inside of our facility, and we were the only three there.
Yes.
And we had to shut everything down, call security, do this whole search, found nothing.
Nobody was there.
Nobody. Now, along with that, I was there one night, and you weren't there. But this happened to a guest that we're actually going to have on Monday. We're going to kind of keep this theme of paranormal stuff going with him and discuss Bigfoot. But he was walking a certain part of the facility, and it's kind of broken up, not to get into too much detail about it, but
Is it the same spot that everybody has? Is it the same area where everybody has their sightings and stuff at? Let me ask you that.
It's on the north end.
Okay. I know where you're. Okay. Anyway, keep going.
He was walking down to check something, and he was hearing, and it's kind of separated by rail cars, I'll say that. And he was hearing somebody walking on the other side of the rail cars. Now, he thought it was me because I was supposed to be shadowing him. He was still training at the time. And I was still up a good 150, 200 feet away from him. Like, I wasn't even close to this guy. I was standing there talking with the two other guys that were working that night. And so, all he does is he comes up and he's like, somebody was just walking on the other side of the rail cars. And I looked at him and said, you've got to be shitting me. There's no way. We were all standing right here. And he was like, no, I heard footsteps. I thought it was you, Cody. And I was talking to it like it was you. But then when you didn't respond back, I looked over there and there was nothing there. But he clearly heard the footsteps following behind him. That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
But that was, yeah, Sasquatch.
That would give me goosebumps.
I refer to him as Bigfoot.
You can refer to him as whatever you want to, but just FYI, he exists.
Sasquatch?
In Utah. In Utah, we call him a Wendigo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's...
Okay.
Lots of names.
He changes shape.
Okay, yes.
Also known as a skinwalker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of that name.
Yeah. Anyway, my husband's grandfather ran a mine up the canyon, up Salina Canyon, and he seen a black wolf, which is really rare for Utah. And he went after it, he chased it, and he stayed right on it, and it went over a cliff, and the next thing he knew, there was an eagle flying above his head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you...
But tell them also what happened in that same area, because there's also more to what you saw in that same area, you and Birch. And it was right across the canyon from that.
Shit, Wade. I knew you'd bring that up. I shouldn't have said anything.
Shut up, Wade.
Yeah, shut up, Wade.
Let your mom talk.
We actually were driving up the canyon, and...
we stopped at the rest area.
To put it bluntly, there was a rest area up there, and we've been driving for quite a while, and my daughter and I really had to go to the bathroom bad, and so I finally told my husband, you're either going to pull over or you're going to swim, because one way or the other, I'm going to get relief from this. And I turned around to say something to Verge in the back seat, just as she turned to look to make sure the traffic was clear so that we could go off the exit to go into this rest area, and both of us seen it walking on the hillside, and it was taller than the cedar trees that were on the side of the hill across the canyon from where we were.
How tall would you say the cedar trees were?
Well, they were juniper trees. They're about 15 to 20 feet tall.
Well, some of them. But in that area, Wade, you have to remember that canyon, there's a lot on that wall. It was on the north wall, and in Utah with the cold air and the cold weather, those trees weren't as tall as the ones on the south side.
Okay.
So I would probably say 8 or 9 feet. And we saw head, shoulders walking above the trees, and he went back into a canyon, and get this, back in the canyon there was an overhang that went way back in. We couldn't see the back of where it was. We looked. We actually went back several times and looked. And we never could see the back of that particular hole in the wall. But I wouldn't take my children and go investigate it with my kids because I'm not sure what you'd find.
Yeah, that's...
But he was there.
How long would you say you saw him for?
Well, I would say I probably, now, you have to know that as tall as he was, he probably had really long legs. But I watched him go past four trees, and there was about a 6-foot space between one little clump of trees and the next one. Mm-hmm. We watched him walk quite a ways, and then he just turned the corner, and he was gone, and it was just weird.
See, I love your detail. And the detail makes it more believable, because as much as I believe in paranormal activity, paranormal events, UFOs, ghosts, Sasquatch, or whatever, I always try to take a step back and look at it skeptically, because...
You have to.
You absolutely have to. And I think it's because, and I think Dave can talk more on this, because he hasn't really talked too much tonight other than to be
our fun listening.
That's what I was thinking. I think I'm taking all his time.
No.
Sometimes I just get comfortable and I just love to sit back and listen, so.
He's more of a fan.
Yeah.
I think.
And when we run out of things to talk about, we just talk about how he's for rape.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I am not.
I was trying to do him a favor, not bring that
Dave?
Up.
Yeah.
Dave, are you there?
I'm here.
Let me direct this question directly at you.
Okay.
And I said at you, not to you. You get that, right?
All right.
Okay, this is directed at you. Have you ever had an experience with anything in the way of glowing orbs or something to that effect that...
That's a very specific question. Why? Yeah. Let me ask you real quick. Why glowing orbs or something to that effect?
I just wondered if I was the only one that had in the group. I just wondered if, because that is, to me, that's another form of the paranormal that we were discussing.
Okay.
And we got off track talking about Bigfoot, but that is a paranormal. Have you ever experienced a series of glowing orbs?
Yes, I would classify it as a glowing orb. There was a time some friends and I may have had some what is now legal here in Washington.
Right.
But that goes back to being a child in the sense that... You know, it allows you to remove your filters, because I think a lot of the paranormal is blocked by a lot of people, because their brain automatically tells them, nope, there's nothing there, so they don't see it. They don't even question there's something there. And of course, during that time, you know, our filters are removed. And yeah, I mean, we knew we weren't alone, and you could kind of see some things, and some people can chalk it up to just being... a little high, but at the same time, I think it's there. But for me, it wasn't upsetting. It wasn't scary. It was just, how's it going?
Describe the things that you saw, though.
Well, see, and that's what I'm trying to think of orbs. It's kind of like it was just, maybe that's a perfect way to say it. Just little tiny, you've seen in a movie where they have like the little,
can I see if I can explain them? Because were you in a cemetery, Dave?
No, not even close. Well, it could have been an old ancient Indian one, but
like, did you? Because I have problems explaining the same thing, and I've had experiences. I think I know what you're talking about. When you like have a sparkler and you're whipping it around, but when a sparkler goes out, it kind of looks like the end of like a sparkler or something like that, and it's being whipped around. Is that what it looked like?
Not exactly. I would say a lot like the, what do they call them? I used to see them all the time on the East Coast. Lightning bugs.
Yeah.
It very similar to that, but it was very much white and slightly larger, but it would leave a long tail as it moved around. And it was in and out. You know, it wasn't a constant, but I don't know. Didn't bother me.
Were other people seeing it?
Oh, yeah.
But did it bother them?
No. No, and okay, I want to say something here that really bothers me about another reason why I think a lot of people don't tend to believe in this stuff. You know, I've watched this stuff on TV, this paranormal activities or whatever, and all these ghost stories. And what irritates me is how almost every situation, it's a scary encounter. I just don't believe that all those encounters are scary. Anytime someone sees what they consider a ghost or something, I'm sorry, I don't believe it's all a scary thing and they're frightening. I just don't buy it.
I think it's because it's unexpected and it's shocking.
Well, exactly. I'm not saying I'm not saying that it's you know, wouldn't, because I mean, like right now, if something just popped over to the left. Yeah, that would startle me.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I don't
think
that
your pants out right now.
Right. But I don't think that just because there's something there, I don't think that it's necessarily bad. It's not here to scare us.
No.
Yeah. It like, you know, frightens you. It's like, what the hell? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And that's why I think a lot of people find those shows and that kind of thing hokey, because it's always the same thing, and it's always some weird guy that you can tell is probably still drunk, you know, talking about all the weird stuff. He's like from the South to the point you can't even understand what they're saying, even if they were sober. So I just think that's why so many people also block their mind to it.
Yeah.
But I know it's out there. I've seen it. So, yeah.
But it's... To go with your point of being scary and shocky, you know.
Well, you would scare me.
I didn't, yeah. I like that. I didn't get out of that bed because I was scared. I got out of the bed because I was uncomfortable. Like, it made me uncomfortable to know that there was something that I didn't really know what it was.
So why didn't you ask it what it was?
I had because I was that uncomfortable. Like, it, I guess you could say it did scare me, but I wasn't scared of it. Does that make sense? Like,
right.
I didn't get that feeling it was gonna hurt me or hurt my wife. I mean, I did leave her sleeping there by herself when I knew something was
there. Wow, such a hero.
I may have crawled over her to get out of the bed, too.
Yeah.
But it was just such a shocking, especially after I was able to communicate with it.
Yeah.
To say, okay, make your presence known, and it did twice. I mean, that's...
Right.
It's shocking, and it's uncomfortable, and I think that's what a lot of other people experience as well. But they turn it more towards the scary, you know. Oh,
right.
It was
because psychologically... But psychologically, we are scared of the unknown as people. I think that's what it is. And I think that our brains trying to define what something is, it almost makes a fear factor happen. But actually, I want to touch on something, Mom. I've never actually asked you this question, and thanks for reminding me. Have you ever done what Cody did there? Have you ever known something was there and asked it to respond to you somehow, and then regretted the fact that you did?
Well, now, let me clarify. I didn't regret the fact that I communicated with it, because
it made
story.
You uncomfortable. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to...
I understand. Well, I understand the point he's trying to get across. tried to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually talk to them? No. Communicate with them? Yes.
How? How do you do that?
I'm way different than you guys. This is craziness, because you know what? I believe in God, and I believe in the hereafter, and I believe that the people out there are all connected to us, and I believe that they are actually the spirits of the people that belong in our family that are walking around us, taking care of us, okay? So, to me, I can say a little prayer, and I can say, I don't know who you are, but I know that there is something that you'd like to convey to me, And if you can find a way, please convey it to me. That's my prayer. Amen. And usually the next day, I know exactly what this being was trying to convey. But to me, it comes in the form of a prayer. I guess talking to them, oh, God.
No. I can see where you're going. It. Psychologically, what you're doing is you're conversing with them, yeah. But you're doing it in a comfortable way, in a way that...
That's comfortable to me. It wouldn't be comfortable to you because you're a non-believer. You don't believe in God in the hereafter, but I do. And I believe that my belief in God will protect me. And no matter what I say in my little prayer, I will be protected because God will be there for me because I'm asking through Him. So I really, on this note, guys, I'm totally different than you. I believe in God, but I also believe in the paranormal. I've seen it. I know it's there, and I know... You asked me a question earlier, and now I'm at this point in what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you what happened with my mother-in-law.
Okay. Outstanding.
When Tony and I were first married, and Wade was, I want to say 8 or 9 months old. He was just a kid. Tony's grandmother got really, really bad.
Head?
And the woman, well, yeah, I know, but okay. You know. But Tony's grandmother was dying. She was 93, and we were having, Tony was out of town working, and there was just, I couldn't get a hold of him. We kept playing phone tag. I would call his place of business, and he would come in late, and he would try to call me, and I wouldn't be where I could get to a phone. And so I couldn't convey to him that his grandmother was dying. I finally got through to him, and the company he was working for flew him into Utah, and I came and got him. And the night that he came home, we were asleep, and we heard this knock, knock, knock on the door. And then I heard someone yell, "Tony!" And I laid there for a minute thinking, you're nuts, you're crazy, you know. Knock, 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 come on the door again, and then I heard the same thing again. And I woke my husband, and I said, "Tony, somebody is outside, and they're calling for you." And he sat straight up on the edge of the bed, and he turned, and he looked at me, and he said, "It's okay now. Go back to sleep." Now, to be honest with you, I could have killed him because, of course, I didn't sleep another wink all night, and he went back to sleep. And the following morning, he told me, "We need to go see Grandma because today is the day she's going to die." And we went over, and they picked her up in an ambulance and took her to the hospital, and we were at the hospital 20 minutes, and she got her. And
wow.
Now that was the first incident. Okay, Wade's wife has got a problem.
You need to explain that dad also said that was his mother, that it had been
yes.
for years she was honoring his name.
He did say that. I'm sorry, Wade, you're right. I'm glad you interrupted me. Now shut up. Okay. Anyway, Wade's wife has a hip problem, and she got pregnant, and we were all a little concerned that trying to have a baby with a break or a fracture in her hip wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
And Tony went to bed one night with me, and we're in there, and we're just sound asleep, and he said he felt something sit by him on the edge of the bed. And so he sat up, and he turned, and he looked, and it was his mother. Now, his mother died at age 32 in 1975 or 4? 1975, I think. So she had been dead for a really long time, and he said that she sat down, and they had a conversation, and the conversation went like this. "I'm expecting a new grandbaby." And his mother said, "I know. And she's beautiful."
Oh, wow.
Okay. And Wade had been at our house to tell us woohoo, we're having another baby. And guess what? Mom, we're going to name her Maxine if it's a girl. And Tony's mother's name was Maxine. And she came to tell Tony that she knew he was going to have a granddaughter and that her name was going to be Maxine. So there you go. Tell me that didn't happen.
And also, we didn't know if Maxine was going to be a boy or a girl all the way to the end.
No.
Yep.
So. They didn't know. And they said, if it's going to be a girl, we're going to name her Maxine. And she came to tell my husband that, yeah, and she's going to be beautiful. And she's beautiful, what she said. So, yeah, I believe he's seen his mother. I believe she was there to deliver a message. And we couldn't be more blessed, you know?
I have met Maxine.
There again.
And she is beautiful. She's a damn cute kid. But my... Sorry, cat. I never met my grandma on my mom's side. And there was a similar story with her and me being born, except she stated it before she passed away, that she knew I was going to be a boy and whatnot. And see, my mom believes kind of, I think, how you believe, you know, maybe not so much in the paranormal, but she's definitely, I would just say, religious. Sorry.
She believes in God?
Yes.
Is that hard for you to say?
No. I'm just... I'm overthinking everything right now. To be real honest with you. I always get way too in my head, and I'm trying to spit the words out and not be... I want to be clearly heard, you know. And so... there was an incident that I had back in middle school. I was staying home from school one day because I was sick. And I used to make top ramen. I used to make a crap load of top ramen. I was going through puberty at the time, and I was just eating all kinds of food, like those Tostino's pizzas that you can get at any gas station now. I used to sit...
So pretty much your diet has not changed.
Pretty much. But I used to sit and eat 10 of those. Imagine that. Someone my size, 10 of those pizzas in one sitting. I would literally load up the oven, pull them all out, and eat them all in 15 minutes. But I was standing there one day making top ramen. And I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes stirring it, and it's like it's not boiling. It's not getting hot. What's going on? And I looked up, and I saw this bright red circle underneath a glass pan that had the remains of some brownies in it. And I said, oh shit, I turned on the wrong burner. So I went down, and I clicked that burner off. Now, as soon as I clicked it off, the pan exploded.
I mean, ow.
No. That's the crazy thing. I'm standing it directly in front of it. And I didn't actually have a shirt on at the time because I was at home from school, sick, had my shirt off because it didn't matter. I tell you, Virginia, there was glass shards sticking out of the wall.
But none in you.
Absolutely not a piece. Not a single piece of glass had touched me. And the whole pan exploded, except for a big chunk of it, and that was mainly where the brownies were. And it was a big pan. It wasn't a small one. It was a big, like, 6x12, I think it was. I mean, not a small pan whatsoever. And I didn't have a single piece of glass in me. And my mom attributed that to my grandma, that... she was my guardian angel. And that as soon as that had happened, she blocked it all. And that's part of the agnostic in me, is having gone through that experience as well, it's hard not to believe that something didn't intervene. Because there's absolutely no reason why I should not have been bloodied by all that glass.
Right.
And I don't necessarily believe it was God or the power of God that saved me, but something did. And I don't know what that was. For the longest time, to be truly honest with you, I did think it was the power of God. I did think that my grandma was there as a guardian angel and saved me. But as I look at what I believe now and try to explain it, to be that skeptic again with that situation, it's hard. It's really hard. I know something was there because I didn't get hurt. But what that was, I don't know.
Hey, I'm gonna talk about something too, Mom. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, I just let me know.
Yeah, I know. You apologize in advance, but you're gonna say it anyway, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm like my dad. Anyway, so I did a study when I was in high school about ESP, extrasensory perception, and
sixth sense.
And I found out the different types of extrasensory perception. And my mom, in some of the experiences she had, I found out that she is the rarest form of it, if you want to do the, according to the studies. And what she is called is, she is called recognitious. Not pre, but recognitious. And I actually wanted to, if you're comfortable, to share one of your recognitious stories that you had out at, like Black Rock or something about the Native American stuff. Are you comfortable with that, Mom?
Yes, I am. I can relate to that tonight, I guess. Maybe I should go get drunk and maybe I'll feel better about it. just kidding, by the way.
You guys know what recognition is?
No, explain that, please.
Yes, please do.
Recognition is when you know something has happened somewhere without any prior knowledge of it happening.
Oh, I've had that.
Does that make sense? Okay. So, Mom, you can...
Okay. I can take it from your way.
So,
yeah.
I just want to clarify on that point real quick, because I'm a dum-dum. So
very much so.
That is, like, you go into a house, and you can be able to say, this happened here, and this happened here. And it happened 50, 60 years ago.
And Mom knows that. I grew up with that, yes.
Okay.
And she knew. We would go to somebody's house and something, and she would just look at my dad and say, we got to go, Tony. And then she would explain it later. Yeah.
Okay.
And when I said, we've got to go, Tony, he packed up the kids and we left.
He knew.
Yeah. Okay. But... the thing that he's talking about, the thing that he brought up was, he said something about Native Americans, and I will explain that to you a little bit. We're living in the same house, way out in the middle of nowhere.
The ranch.
We decide we're going to take our kids, and we're going to make a day of it. We're going to take a picnic, and we're going to go out by a place called Black Rock and look for arrowheads. Because they're just laying all over the desert out there, and if you get really lucky, you can find one.
Nice.
So we go out there with a group of other people that are related kind of to me, and we get out there and nobody is finding anything. Everybody is just really getting discouraged. So I don't know why. Is everybody okay?
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. We just listen to you.
I don't know why it happened the way it did, but I'll explain to you what happened on my end and then how things turned out. We went, it was south and west of the ranch that we worked on, and we were just looking around, and honestly, this is one of those uncomfortable moments, so give me just a second here.
Okay, no problem. Take your time.
I started to walk around a sagebrush. Now, by around, I mean I was going around and around and around the same sagebrush.
Okay,
and
why?
In my mind, I could hear, like, Indians chanting, you know, how...
Yeah, the... Ooh, 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 ooh,
yeah, the whole chant thing, anyway. And for some reason, I closed my eyes. Now, when you're out on the West Desert in Utah, there's rattlesnakes everywhere. You should never close your eyes. Just say that up front, and we'll be done with that.
Yeah.
But I closed my eyes, and in my mind, I actually seen an Indian woman packing a baby, and I seen the Indian tribes stoning her, and they were throwing rocks at her and her baby, and they were chasing her, and they were actually ousting her, so to speak, from their tribe. And in my mind, I seen this clearly, and it was just like, I stopped dead in my tracks, and I looked down, and I found a perfect arrowhead right in front of where I had been walking for about 20 minutes, around and around and around. I went back to the ranch, and we were talking with the guy that owned this 3,000 acres out there,
yeah.
And his property bordered Black Rock, and that's where we had been hunting these arrowheads. And he was talking to us, and he said, you know, you guys, there's so many really awesome things out there. He said, you do know that they found the skeleton of a young woman and her baby curled up under an overhang rock just on the other side of that hill.
Wow.
Yeah. We wow. never went back to that particular spot down there. We went further west and a little to the north after that, but yeah. And they had found her skeleton and her baby skeleton under a rock overhang on Black Rock. So yeah.
That's amazing.
What is it you call that? Recognition?
Yes.
Knowing that it happened. It happened. Believe me, I've seen it. I watched it. But, yeah. So call me crazy, because I've been called that before.
I don't think you're going to get that here.
No.
They hang out with me, Mom.
Yeah, well, true. But anyway, life is what it is, and I guess we deal with what we deal with.
Well, I actually think that that's an excellent story to leave our listeners with, because we're about an hour and 13 minutes in, and...
Yeah, it's a good thing I plugged in my phone.
Yes. I want to say thank you, and hopefully this
was
easier than you thought it was going to be, and also thank you again for all the stories that you've shared with us tonight. I mean, it's pretty cool to talk to somebody who, in my mind, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, but seems to have conflicting beliefs. And like I said, that's just the way I see it, because of what I believe. And I'm not going to go all Muslim on you, but...
I'm going to go all off on you here.
I was waiting for that.
My beliefs are not conflicting.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he got that.
Well,
no,
in my mind, they are. And it kind of goes back to the whole agnostic thing and me feeling like when that glass pan shattered in front of me, and at the time, believing that it was the power of God. But knowing now what I know and what I believe and looking back at it, I don't see how the two go together. In my mind,
I get what he's trying to say.
In his mind, he can't believe that it's the power of God that does this.
Exactly.
I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that it's the power of God that lets you see all of this. But what I am going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to ask your permission. I'm going to tell you that without the power of God, you would never see all of that.
I would
and
never
I'm going to leave
sorry.
It at that.
I would never experience it.
That's right. You would never have a chance to see it because, after all, you know, we're all here for a reason, and the reason is to live our lives to the fullest, which you guys do quite regularly. And
we're definitely doing that tonight.
Oh, yep.
Well, but here you are. You're talking to me on the phone. You've never met me.
No.
You didn't know if I was going to just jump on the phone and tell you to scramble on out to somebody else's farm. And you're talking to me on a plane that most people won't discuss with close relatives.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, somebody had a hand in me telling you all of this because I don't know who you are. And I don't know what kind of person you are, and I don't know what you believe in. All I can tell you is what I believe in.
And see,
and what I believe in is that this stuff exists, and you guys are on the right track trying to get to the bottom of it, but if you don't believe in your heart, you're never going to get it.
I agree with you on...
Understand that you have to be able to get it, and you don't get it if you don't believe.
I agree with you on you have to believe in order to get it, because that works with every aspect of your life. You're not going to get the promotion, you're not going to get the job, you're not going to get the lady
that
you want, you're not going to get the kids to be raised the way that you want them to be raised if you don't believe in your heart of hearts that you can do that. It's the belief of a higher power can pulling all the strings that doesn't make sense to me. And doesn't.
Okay, back up again. Okay, you know what? We're going to get into a religious discussion here, and that's not a good idea.
No, probably not.
Religion is something you do not want to talk to me about. But here's the thing. Okay? You have free agency. You can get drunk. You can do whatever you want to in this life.
Yes.
You know what? God's going to forgive you anyway because he loves you. And he's out there, and he's going to make it good for you later on. And all of these things that you're seeing now and all of these people that you're seeing now, they have a connection to you. And in order for you to get that connection is there, you have to make way for it. And you can't do that if you don't believe in something. And on that note, I'm going to tell you goodbye.
See you, Mom.
Well, I'm glad you came on with us. It was nice to talk to you.
Yes, and I love that point. If you don't make that connection, it's never going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you go, Mom?
I think so.
Yes,
apparently. Damn. I was about ready to ask for a number. That way, if you ever go off and we can't get you to stop, we can call her and she'll tell you to shut up.
That was phenomenal, right?
That was amazing. So Wade, thank you for bringing your mom on.
Yeah,
the podcast.
That was great.
I hope to, you know, now that she got a taste of it, she'll probably want to come in the future and just bust my balls for an hour and a half. So.
I think all of our moms need to do that at some point.
Not mine.
Tell you the story what she told him today.
No, see, I want Cody's mom to come on and tell us all about how he used to dress as a girl. Because, you know, he's told us that his sisters did it, but I think he kind of enjoyed it. And I want to hear it from a higher power, if you will.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree, but I wouldn't agree either, so...
Well, it's not up to you to agree. It's up for us to make fun of you to the fullest extent.
Very true. So...
Yeah.
We're at the end.
At the end.
I love this. This is a great episode. We're going to go on for another hour.
What the hell are you doing?
Holy crap. We are still recording.
There was a motorcycle. Anyway.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I'm going to let you go. I'm gonna go get my stuff done.
Alrighty then.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Have a
later.
Good night.
And Cody, I'd like to end on that feat. I'd also like to tell you just how fuck fucking crazy you can be. But that's a good thing.
You could be fucking crazy, too. You're
yeah.
quiet.
You were quiet this episode. Well, because sometimes it's just fun to sit back and listen. And there was just a lot of stuff. You know, this is kind of funny. And I hope I say this so that Wade doesn't get upset or offended. But especially when it came to the religious part, you know, there was just a lot I disagreed with
yeah.
what she said. However, I'm so glad she was on.
Yes.
And I would love to talk to her about that, not get in an argument or fight.
No, you want to have a civil discussion.
Exactly,
yes.
Which is one of the biggest reasons why I don't have these discussions.
Because always turns into an argument.
I always find that, and this goes especially true with a couple people we know, that it always ends in them getting so offended and so upset. And it's like, you know, that was never the intention. It's just
no.
that someone doesn't agree with them and they just have a hard time accepting it.
Because if you... I always love to play devil's advocate. And if you look at it from their point of view, you're
mm-hmm.
attacking their beliefs.
Oh, exactly.
And it's their core. It's them.
Right.
Right. At least that's what
mm-hmm.
they say and that's what we see.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the same could be said when they're trying to talk about their beliefs and things like that, because they're essentially telling me that... they don't believe in anything I do. But
yeah.
I don't see the point in getting upset about it. That's just me. I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm completely with you. And
my
point of view at this moment in time is just playing that devil's advocate. And
oh, yeah.
If you have the belief that you have and you see it from your viewpoint, you're not going to get upset.
Right.
But when... because we know it's true.
Right.
But if you look at them and they have the slightest sliver of doubt.
Right.
And you attack that little sliver.
Yep.
That's when it becomes an
absolutely.
Argument. And that's why they get so offended.
Yep.
And maybe even scared to admit.
Oh, yeah.
That's.
Well.
Whatever you say might be true.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
yeah.
is what I've always said. Okay. Part of the belief in God is the flaw in humans that we have to know everything. There is so much in this world that we don't know, that we don't understand, and it's
yep.
too easy mm-hmm. to say it's God.
Well,
that is what helps us relax. It's what helps us turn off our brain and continue.
The glass pan blowing up in front of us.
I think I missed that part. I was urinating.
Oh.
I relieved myself in the toilet and it felt wonderful.
Nice. So, basically, a glass pan blew up in front of me. I did not have a shirt on. And there was glass sticking out of the wall. But I had no glass in me. I'm literally a foot away from it when it exploded.
And that goes back to what I was saying. Not every paranormal thing is evil. This thing could have been protecting you.
That's what I'm saying. Something
yep.
was there. And at the time, I believed it was the power of God. Now, knowing what I know now and my beliefs and how they've changed, something was there. And it
mm-hmm.
bugs the crap out of me not knowing what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, and see,
I need to know what that was. I really do.
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's one of our biggest flaws. And
nice.
Wow, what a fail. That was supposed to be a burp.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, as I've said from the beginning, you know, I struggled growing up because as a kid, your mind's open to everything. And
yeah.
that's why I was saying it's so easy for kids to believe in God, because they don't have that filter. They don't understand a lot of the world. It's just too easy to believe anything mom and pop said.
Yep.
But if you take a ruler, okay, 12 inches, wish it was the size of my cock. So if you take all 12 of those inches,
I
think...
I need two rulers to measure mine.
I think us humans know maybe an eighth inch out of that entire ruler space. And that's what kills us, is
yeah.
because we... cannot. There's so much out there that we don't understand. And like I said, growing up, it was tough because you get to that part where you just don't understand things. You start to realize that the world's full of shit. You start to realize that your parents can be full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too easy just to stop, it's all God.
It's aggravating. It's being told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I don't care who you are,
yeah,
no one likes to be lied to.
No. And, you know, as you go on, it was just, like I said, it was always a struggle because I wanted to believe.
Oh, you hear that? Listen to those horns.
Nice.
That is.
That's Wade.
It is Wade calling.
Yeah, I can see it from here.
No. Just listen.
You are so gay right now. Just answer
that
the fucking phone.
It's Star Trek Deep Space
Jesus
Nine.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, baby.
Too long.
Yes.
Anyway, so, again, it was just hard, and I'm thankful that my parents never pushed their beliefs on me. Mm-hmm. It was, if you want to know about religion, find a friend, go to church with them. But every time I wanted to believe, I just couldn't. It was like adults believing in a fairy tale trying to, I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. And once I finally was able to just take off my hat and relax in life, was when I came to accept, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do.
It's the hardest thing.
Not easy to do, but I don't know.
As long as you, I believe, live your life to its fullest,
right,
like we talked before,
mm-hmm,
and try to be a good person and a happy person,
mm-hmm,
what else more can you ask for?
Exactly.
So, this was a wonderful conversation. We could keep going and going and going, but
yes,
we're close to an hour and a half.
We should have a God-bashing episode, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
After Bigfoot, though.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Yeti. I want to watch that documentary again, and I'm going to write down all this shit.
Yes.
Because I want to confront him.
Yeah.
Only to play devil's advocate, though.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with Bigfoot, but there's a lot of reasons why I don't believe.
Really?
However,
I didn't realize you didn't believe.
It goes back to my belief in that there is no God. There is just too much that has yet to be proven.
I mean,
plain and simple. If
I think there's enough that has been proven.
Right, but that goes again.
Believable.
You know, everything
that's
I have seen. See,
no.
Look, here it is. We'll go over it again. However, if there was, I'm sorry, we would have skeletons in museums already. We would have too much goddamn proof, and it's not there.
I don't know.
However, I'm not saying no.
Okay, we're both going to watch this documentary.
Let's do it.
Because it's on Netflix, correct?
Yes.
Okay, we can stream it. I think I've watched it. I think I watched it.
Oh, recently. Probably. See, here's the thing. I am like 80-20. 80%, nah, bullshit. But
yeah.
I can't say no, because maybe I'll go camping this year, and holy shit, there's Bigfoot, and I'm going to be like, huh, son of a bitch.
Shit, I wish I had a gun to shoot him in the head. That way it could be rich.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so, guys, thank you for hanging with us, if you've hanged in with us this far.
Thanks for hanging. Left or right, doesn't matter.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know.
Yes, please. We're tired of having nothing.
Yeah, well.
Even if you're out there in the Philippines, just love us.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, we love the Philippines.
You know,
I haven't been there, though.
I actually, real quick, am glad that I can say I am a co-host of a multinational.
Yes.
International.
That is very true.
International podcast. Hell yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And what's great is where we live, we have a decent Filipino population due to the military. So
yes.
I think it's very cool that we have someone from the Philippines.
It's pretty awesome.
Yes.
So find us on Facebook.
Cody's Queer.
Roscoe's House of Chips.
Roscoe's.
Excuse me.
Oh,
if
let me
you
ask
have
you
any
a question.
Stories, yes.
No, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, if you have any stories that you want to share, paranormal, Bigfoot sightings.
Yes.
Email us, roscoeshoc@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just Google Roscoe's House.
Just don't bother with MySpace.
I think we should bring MySpace back, actually.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's start it.
We need to sign up for MySpace.
Well, apparently, I know some people tried to bring it back, but I haven't heard enough about it to believe that it came back. But no, I just wanted to ask really quick as we close this out.
Yes.
Of all this information that we've gathered tonight.
My head is spinning. Did you steal that?